Huddle Up Podcast. It is the Observations with Big Jim. I'm your host, Big Jim. As I'm recording this, it is Tuesday, October the 3rd, 2023. We just wrapped up this week's Huddle Up Podcast. So if you have not checked out that and you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure you do that. Subscribe on all podcast platforms, YouTube as well. Follow us on social media at Huddle Up Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, on TikTok. And get our merchandise over at tpublic.com. You can follow me personally at Big Jim Sports, but make sure that you do follow along with the show accounts. I would certainly appreciate that. Get as many people in here and interacting and hanging out with the show as much as possible. I would certainly appreciate that. Gonna jump right in. Sorry I missed last week. There will be times as I produce the Huddle Up Podcast and I produce the my wrestling podcast and things, that there may be weeks that I take these observations off just for my own sanity and my own personal well-being and all of those sorts of things. So I apologize for no show last week, but gonna jump right back in here with this one. My first observation of the week, and there's part of me that still is struggling to believe that this is real life. The Baltimore Orioles have won the AL East. They are in the MLB playoffs as the number one team in the American League. They finished the year 101-61. It is only their sixth 100-game season in team history. It is the first time doing that since 1971. It has never happened in my lifetime. To start the year, this is a stat that I saw. To start the year, the Baltimore Orioles had a 1.9. Either way, it was less than 2% chance statistically to win the American League East, and they did it. I know when I was on with our friends over the Dollar Dogs and Beer podcast before the season that I predicted the Orioles could win 90 games. And not on that show, but even when I said it on Twitter, that I had reaction from people that said, this team can't win 90 games. The Orioles can't win 90 games. Like they basically accused what happened last year as a fluke. And if they did that, they weren't paying attention. The Orioles still, to this day, have not been swept in a series since Adley Rutschman was called up to the Orioles last May. It's like 92 series since then or something like that, and they're rolling. It's crazy, and the fun part, the scary part in some ways, is that the Orioles could probably be better next year with some of the talent that will be coming into the team. But just been an incredible run. 110 losses a year 2 years ago, 101 wins this year in the playoffs. Major League Baseball playoffs started today. As I'm recording this, they started today, the opening round wild card series. The Twins and Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays and Texas Rangers, the Diamondbacks and the Brewers and the Marlins and the Phillies. Phillies currently leading the Marlins 3-1 as I'm recording this. Looking over the rest of the scores in Major League Baseball today. Arizona leading in the top of the ninth, 6-3 over Milwaukee. Texas beat Tampa 4-0, and the Twins beat the Blue Jays 3-1. So my second observation here is kind of my predictions for the playoffs. I think despite the loss today, I think Toronto ends up winning their series against the Twins. They'll move on to play the Houston Astros. I think the Tampa Bay Rays will shake off the game one loss, end up winning that series against the Texas Rangers. They'll move on to play the Orioles. From there, I think the Orioles beat the Rays. I think Houston beats Toronto. And the Baltimore Orioles will beat Houston to go to the World Series. I think the Orioles win the AL pennant. You can call me a homer. I'm playing on house money at this point because I just have never experienced this before. The Orioles have never won the AL pennant in my lifetime. So why the hell not, right? In the National League, I think the Brewers will beat the Diamondbacks. They'll move on to play the Dodgers. I think the Phillies beat the Marlins. They move on to play the Braves. I think the Dodgers beat the Brewers, and I think the Phillies upset the Braves. You can call me Homer again if you want. And I think the Phillies will beat the Dodgers and give me a Phillies-Orioles World Series, a repeat of the 1983 World Series. And once again, as it did in 1983, the Baltimore Orioles are the World Series champions. That's what I hope happens. That is what I'm predicting will happen. And here's the thing. I will say this about the Orioles. And it feels weird having, first off, it feels weird having the Orioles be good. It's something I haven't really experienced a lot in my adult lifetime, so it's fun. I'm enjoying every moment of it. It's carefree. I know I said to a coworker today that I'm playing. It's like playing with house money because the Orioles weren't, theoretically speaking, weren't supposed to be here, and here they are. So yeah, just, and I think they're capable. When you look at what they've done for the last year and a half, again, since Adley Rutschman and since some of these young guys have come up and changed the trajectory of this organization, and credit to Brandon Hyde, their manager, has completely changed everything around for Baltimore, and they're just playing really, really good baseball. So I think they're going to be a very hard team to beat, and I don't think they get beat in a series. For my third observation this week, moving to college football, USC is not a viable college football playoff candidate, at least as we sit here right now. Again, if they can correct some of these issues that they have, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, they're not going to be a playoff candidate. But if they can fix them, then I'll maybe reassess where they're at. But I have no reason to believe that they will fix them, because they were a problem for USC last year, and they didn't fix them last year, and now you expect them to all of a sudden do it this year? Like I don't see it. I don't see why they're just automatically going to fix their defense. It's not like Lincoln Riley has a long and storied history of great defenses at Oklahoma. So I just don't think they're there. And like Caleb Williams, look, this isn't a slight on Caleb Williams, but there's only so much he can do. You know, you want to crown him as the best player in college football, that's fine. You want to say he's the Heisman Trophy winner, that's fine. You say you want to say he's the number one pick in next year's draft, that's fine. I'm not necessarily going to disagree with any of those points of view. What I am saying is he can only do so much, but he also this year has made some questionable decisions. He almost did some against Colorado this past weekend, and they almost lost to Colorado. And no disrespect to Coach Prime and what they're doing in Colorado. The USC still has some tougher games left on that schedule, okay? Like, they go to South Bend next weekend. And this isn't just me, the homer, saying this, but like analysts, one of my favorite analysts, Joel Klatt, have said that USC is going to struggle against Notre Dame. USC still has to play Utah, who I know just lost, but they still have to play Utah, a team they've struggled with in recent years. They still have to play Washington. They still have to play Oregon. Like, if they get through that schedule, then yeah, I'll probably change my opinion on USC as a playoff candidate. But as of now, not a chance. Not a chance. Absolutely not. Yeah, but show me UFC. I think next weekend's showdown in South Bend is going to be huge. Obviously for both teams, Notre Dame has to win. USC probably does too. My fourth observation this week: Sam Hartman for president. This Notre Dame season has definitely taken years off my life. Both the Ohio State game, the Duke game. But Sam Hartman has just been absolutely spectacular since coming over transfer from Wake Forest. Has not turned the ball over yet, knock on wood. Hope that doesn't start this weekend. But not only leading that 95-yard drive, you're missing your top two wide receivers. You're kind of making things happen. Duke is a really good defensive team. and you made things happen. A 95-yard drive when it counted most, a 4th-and-16 scramble run play when you had no options open. Just absolutely incredible. But man, what I loved even more is Duke's quarterback Riley Leonard suffered what we now know is a high ankle sprain on Duke's final drive. Sam Hartman made sure he went over and checked on Riley Leonard, who he has experience with coming out of the ACC there at Wake Forest and Duke versus Duke, but checking on Riley Leonard before he celebrated the win just shows the character and who Sam Hartman is. And here's what I'll say about Notre Dame, and I've seen more criticism and like dislike and borderline like hatred of Notre Dame this week after beating Duke than I saw when they lost to Ohio State. And it seems to surround this. There's a video, if you check it out, I know I retweeted it on my Twitter at Big Jim Sports, but it's at the Notre Dame football, at ND football on Twitter, on Facebook, on all of their social media channels, of like the closing few minutes of the game against Duke. And the game-winning drive, the fumble, and there was a point where Audric Estime for Notre Dame broke a long touchdown run, and Notre Dame coaches, you can hear the audio, they incorporated the audio from the coaches' headsets, and the coaches talking to each other, and Notre Dame wanted to run the ball and eventually go for a field goal. And Notre Dame fans are criticizing Marcus Freeman and the coaching staff for not wanting to score. And they thought it was going to be a long field goal attempt. Now, Notre Dame's kicker has not been very good this year. But what the fans are failing to realize is what Notre Dame was trying to do is they were trying to run the ball down to like the 1 yard line or as close to it as possible and get a short straight field goal that would have won the game, and they weren't going to give the ball back to Duke. Marcus Freeman and his coaching staff did not invent that strategy. That has been a strategy for football coaches for a very long time. Okay. So this isn't, Marcus Freeman isn't reinventing the wheel with that. Here's the deal. This was Marcus Freeman's 20th game as a head coach. There's going to be growing pains. There will. There are going to be things that he does that we're not used to seeing at Notre Dame because he is coaching this Saturday will be his 21st game. Like, he didn't go through like the learning curve at Ball State. He didn't cut his teeth at Delaware. He is coaching on the job at Notre Dame. And here's the thing, Notre Dame fans, all of us, and I'm including myself in this, wanted Marcus Freeman as our head coach when Brian Kelly left like a coward in the night. And guess what? Marcus Freeman was the right choice. Marcus Freeman continues to be the right choice. As much as you want to criticize him because we had a 3-point loss against Ohio State and a close win against Duke. Remind you, that Duke win, that 7-point Duke win, Notre Dame was only favored by 5.5, which, if you can math, means Notre Dame beat the spread. They won by more points than they were supposed to win by. So maybe just tap the brakes on the criticism of Marcus Freeman. They're a really good team right now. We'll find out more. Louisville this weekend, USC next weekend. All right, my fifth observation for the week is the trip to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas is back on for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, not really. But I am happy that the Cowboys won this past weekend, a big get-right game, game they didn't let up in over the New England Patriots. The largest margin of defeat that Bill Belichick has faced in his coaching career. So it was a great Sunday for myself as a Cowboys fan, for many Cowboys fans after that very confusing what the hell just happened in Arizona last week. But what I learned about the Cowboys is when they want to be really good slash great, they can be. But they have to want to do that. Because I feel like last week they just did not take a game seriously, and look what happened. I'm still frustrated about it because you're now a game behind the Eagles that you shouldn't be. There should be 3-4-0 teams in the NFL this week, and there isn't. Because the Dallas Cowboys took the Cardinals. They didn't take them seriously. But yeah, they are. This team, despite being 3-1, they still haven't been totally tested. So I still don't 100% know what the Cowboys are. And this is no disrespect to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cowboys weren't tested, so to speak, by a really good team. The Cowboys lost to a middle-of-the-road team. And I don't think the Cowboys took that game very seriously. So while it sounds disrespectful to the Cardinals, I think it's more just looking at the reality of what the Cowboys didn't do last week as opposed to what the Cardinals did. Now, the Cardinals had to show up. They had to play. They had to win. And they did, but it's, again, it was more, I think last Sunday was more about the Cowboys than it was the Cardinals. And I do not mean that disrespectfully. I really do not. The Cowboys will be tested this week for the first time, traveling to undefeated San Francisco. I predicted on Huddle Up Podcast that they win. I think it's going to be a very hard game for the Cowboys. I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams on Sunday, 49ers included, who I'm still, outside of Christian McCaffrey, not 100% sure what they are this year. You're going to have two offenses that are very good. You're going to have two defenses that are very good slash great slash elite, if you like using that word. I don't like using that word. I do know this about the Cowboys. Their red zone offense needs to improve. They finally got a red zone touchdown this week, but, man, it is it's still bad. You changed offensive coordinators, and your red zone offense is still bad. So that does definitely need to improve. And lastly, going back to the Cowboys. Go Cowboys. Sorry, Kyle. Cowboys win. My sixth final observation of the week, there's a lot of bad teams in the National Football League right now. Bears, Panthers, Broncos, Giants, Bengals, Pats. Those teams are for sure bad. I feel like the Jets and the Cardinals are teetering on bad. They're like a feisty, bad, mediocre, leaning towards mediocre. Because the Jets, even in defeat this week, I think showed a lot of what they could be. They're gritty. They're if they rally around Zach Wilson and that defense, and there's talent on that team. The Cardinals they look like they're going to be a hard out. They're going to be a challenging team to play a lot of weeks this season. But yeah, definitely six bad teams. Giants and Bears might be the worst. Broncos are teetering near the worst. Obviously, they beat the Bears, but did they? I feel like it's more the Bears tanked than the Broncos won, but congratulations to the Broncos, I suppose. I still think there's potential with the Jets this year. I do. Zach Wilson made some pretty darn good throws. Now he still made mistakes. And the thing I said when QA Ron went down in week one is for the Jets to have a chance, Zach Wilson can't lose you games. He lost them a game on Monday. The Jets probably should have beaten the Chiefs this week. They probably should have beaten the Chiefs this week. And the Jets lost that game more than the Chiefs won that game. So Zach Wilson did the thing that I said he couldn't do. But I said it on Huddle Up this week on the Huddle Up podcast. I'll say it again here that I love that he took responsibility for the loss. And I love the fact that his teammates supported him on the sideline, because the thing we heard all last week was that that locker room was imploding. That locker room, at least on Sunday night, did not implode. They played a really good game against a really good team and probably should have won. I'm not going to touch on the officiating issues I felt assisted the Chiefs twice on their last drive. Because it's more about the potential of the Jets and what they did, and can they build on that now? And that's the key. They got to build on what they did, even in a loss on Sunday, and we will certainly see if they can start doing that this week. That's where I'm going to wrap up with my observations. Again, you can follow me at Big Jim Sports, but please make sure you follow along with the show at Huddle Up Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. You can get us on YouTube as well. Our merchandise is over at TeePublic. We're on all podcast platforms. Hit the link tree on our social media. And if you're listening to this when it gets posted, or in the morning / early afternoon on October the 4th, I will be on this week's Student of the Game podcast with our friend, part of the Huddle Up podcast crew. He's in the family, or as Brian Kelly would say, family. He's one of us, Student of the Game, Kyle Nash. I'll be on with him. Obviously, we'll be talking 49ers and Cowboys, as well as the rest of the NFL and college slate and whatever he has planned for tomorrow. But I'll be on there Wednesday night. If you miss it live on the Huddle Up Podcast YouTube channel, bing, you can catch it on demand anytime on podcasts or on the YouTube channel for this show. And I appreciate all your support. We all do. I love this Huddle Up family. And until next time, stay safe, stay smart, go for the win.